All right, we're going to take a little jaunt through the book of Song of Songs, talking about love and marriage. It's a hot book in the Bible. So let's have a look. What we're going to do is look at the man, ask a few questions. What is he? What does he want? And what does he fear? Then we'll look at the woman. What is she? What does she want? And what does she fear? And hopefully, as we look at this, it can sort of give couples an idea of it's really about communication. Sin has corrupted this whole thing, this beautiful gift that God has given to us. But because of God's love through Christ, there's a new love that's available to us. But that love is communicated and in a way gets worked into our lives the more we talk and listen to one another. That's what prayer and Bible reading is all about. And so in some ways, going through the Song of Songs is like doing devotions together. It's talking and listening repeatedly to each other and with God in your presence. And whenever you do that, good things happen. So, first of all, the man. What is he? Number one, he's a visual creature. Song of Songs 2, verse 14. My dove in the clefts of the rock and the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Men are visual. They want to see. They respond to visual stimuli. Number two. Song of Song 4, verse 16. Awake, north wind, and come, south wind, blow on my garden, that is its fragrance may spread everywhere. And let my beloved come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. Number three, the man is hungry. Song 5, verse 1. I've come into my garden, my sister, my bride. I've gathered my myrrh and my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I've drunk my wine and my milk. Men are they respond to their bodies and their bodies' needs. Men are builders. Song of Song 3, verse 9 and 10. King Solomon made for himself a carriage. He made it of wood from Lebanon. Its posts he made of silver, its base of gold, its seat was upholstered with purple, its interior inlaid with love. Men communicate with their hands. They want to make something. They want to provide something. That's part of who they are. They're not just talkers. They want to do stuff. Number five, men are part of a pack. Song 3, verse 7. Look at Solomon's carriage with 60 of Israel's mighty men surrounding it. Men like to be a part of groups and part of teams. They feel powerful when they're a part of something that's going on. Okay, the man, what does he want? Number one, to know that he's the best. Song 2, verse 3. Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover among other young men. I sit in his delightful shade and taste his delicious fruit. Men, ladies, men want to know that they're the best. Maybe they're not the best. And maybe they know they're not the best. But they still like to hear once in a while that they're the best. Song 5, verse 10 through 16. My lover is dark and dazzling, better than 10,000 others. His head is finest gold. His wavy hair is black as a raven. His eyes sparkle like doves beside springs of water. They are set like jewels washed in milk. His cheeks are like gardens of spices giving off fragrance. His lips are like lilies perfumed with myrrh. These are the kinds of words. Now, a man will never tell you this. A man will never say that he's looking for compliments. But if you give them, they will have their effect. His arms are like the rounded bars of gold set with beryl. His body is like bright ivory glowing with lapis lazuli. His legs are like marble pillars set in sockets of finest gold. His posture is stately like the noble cedars of Lebanon. His mouth is sweetness itself. He's desirable in every way. Such, O women of Jerusalem, is my lover, my friend. Man wants to go places. Song 2, verse 13. Figs are beginning to ripen. The air is fragrant with blossoming vines. Come then, my love, my darling, come with me. A man wants exclusive rights to his woman. You are my private garden, my treasure, my bride, a secluded spring, a hidden fountain. Men like a little adventure. Come, my love, let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wild flowers. Men want to prize one woman. I know that the popular culture is that men run around, and you know, they're built that way. But the reality is, a man wants something to prize, something of his own. Even among 60 queens and 80 concubines and countless young women, I would still choose my dove, my perfect one, the favorite of her mother, dearly loved by the one who bore her. The young woman you see and praise her. Young women see her and praise her. Even queens and royal concubines sing her praises. The man, what does he fear? His biggest fear is rejection. Song 2, verse 14. I slept, but my heart was awake. When I heard my lover knocking and calling, open to me, my treasure, my darling, my dove, my perfect one. My head is drenched with dew, my hair with the dampness of the night. But I responded, I've taken off my robe. Should I get dressed again? I washed my feet. Should I get them soiled? The second thing that a man fears is to be marginalized. Song 8, verse 13. Oh, my darling, lingering in the gardens, your companions are fortunate to hear your voice. Let me hear it too. Number 3, the loss of manhood. Song 4, verse 8. Come with me from the Lebanon mountain, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Come down from the top of the mountain, Amana, from Mount Sinir and Mount Hermon, where the lions and leopards live. Before the dawn breezes blow and the night shadows flee, I will hurry to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Okay, so we've looked at the man, what he is, what he fears, what he wants. Now let's look at the woman. What is she? Number one, she's concerned about her looks. Song 1, verse 6. Don't look down on me because of my color, because the sun has tanned me. My brothers were angry with me, and made me work in the vineyard. I had no time to care for myself. In those days, having a tan was not a good thing, because it weathered your skin, and people wanted to stay out of the sun. So she's concerned about her looks. Number two, a woman is concerned about being attractive or not. Song 4, verse 16. Wake up, north wind, south wind, blow in my garden, fill the air with fragrance. Let my lover come to his garden and eat the best of its fruits. Number 3, a woman is social. Most beautiful of women, where has your lover gone? Tell us which way your lover went so we can help you find him. She's part of a group of people. Number 4, a woman is adventurous. Or likes flowers, one of the two. Come, my lover, let us go out to the fields and spend the night among the wild flowers. The woman, what does she want? She wants words of love from her man. Song 1, verse 15. How beautiful you are, my love. How your eyes shine with love. Those are the kinds of words that she likes to hear. Song 1, verse 15. How beautiful you are, my love. How your eyes shine with love behind your veil. Your hair dances like a flock of goats bounding down the hills of Gilead. Your teeth are as white as sheep that have just been shorn and washed. Not one of them is missing. Now, this is Solomon talking, and he's trying to be real poetic here. He's not doing really well. I mean, you go up to him and you say, you know, honey, you're really beautiful. I, first of all, appreciate that you have all your teeth. I mean, that's not high poetry. But you know what? Women are not looking for perfection. They know men generally are not great poets. What they appreciate is any kind of attempt. Your lips are like scarlet ribbon. How lovely they are when you speak. Your cheeks glow behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David. You can see King Solomon is struggling in the Tower of David. Round and smooth, with a necklace like 1,000 shields hung around it. So, you know, King Solomon's doing the best he can. He's a person of war, and he's using those things. Your breasts are like gazelles, twin deer feeding among the lilies. I will stay on the hill of myrrh, the hill of incense, until the morning breezes blow and the darkness disappears. How beautiful you are, my love. How perfect you are. A woman wants to know that she's the best. Song 2, verse 2. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling among women. He brought me into his banquet hall and raised the banner of love over me. Song 6, 8 through 9. Let the king have 60 queens, 80 concubines, young women without number, but I love only one, and she is as lovely as a dove. She is her mother's only daughter, her mother's favorite child. All women look at her and praise her. Queens and concubines sing her praises. That's what she wants to know. She's the best. She wants to be pursued. Song 2, verse 8. I hear my lover's voice. He comes running over the mountains, racing across the hills to me. I belong to my mother, my lover, and he desires me. She wants to be held. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand caresses me. She wants to have problems taken care of. Catch the foxes, the little foxes, before they ruin our vineyard in bloom. So there's foxes making a mess of the garden. She wants to have a joint exclusive relationship. My lover is mine, and I am his. He feeds his flock among the lilies until the morning breezes blow and the darkness disappears. Return, my darling, like a gazelle, like a stag, on the mountains of Bether. What does she fear? What is the woman? She fears being abandoned. I opened the door for my lover, but he'd already gone. How I wanted to hear his voice. I looked for him, but I couldn't find him. I called him, but heard no answer. She's afraid of what people think. I wish that you were my brother, that my mother had nursed you at her breast. Then if I met you in the street, I could kiss you and no one would mind. She's afraid of what people might say and what they think. She's afraid of not being desired. Don't look down on me because of my color, because the sun has tanned me. So as we look at the Song of Songs, there's things in there that describe how a man wants certain things and how a woman wants certain things, what they fear and what they want. And if I think if we study these things, we can discern how we can get back to the garden. But really what I'd encourage you to do is to get couples thinking about this. In fact, we're working on a book that actually goes through the Song of Songs in a way that couples can sort of do it together. Because the key really in trying to get couples to work through the whole issue of the brokenness of the whole sexual area is getting them to start talking and listening in a prayerful attitude. To actually study the Word of God together and to start praying about these things and start talking about their different perspectives, their different needs, what they fear, what they don't fear, what they hope for, what would they like from the other person. That's really the key to sort of getting back to the garden. So this course is just getting you started, but I hope you can check some of those products out because I think if you can get couples actually to work together, to get talking and listening going together, then they'll find the sex life that God intended for them.